Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live today. Joining me in the studio is Dr. John Townsend, and Milan Yurkovich is here. And your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. We'll be in the studio for 3 hours, so come be part of New Life. We're glad you're with us today.
I really appreciate your show. It's been a big blessing to me.
I have two teenage boys. Maybe for a couple weeks it'll be okay, and then all of a sudden we slip up again.
Whoa. Can you translate what all of a sudden means?
After I sobered up, I wasn't numb enough to drown out what was aggravating me with my mother.
Okay.
That's well put, by the way.
In my heart, I don't think that it's important enough to tell her.
Well, if it's not important enough to tell her, are you sure it was important enough to divorce?
You know, sometimes we only think there's two options.
Is that because you were clueless in that time?
You know, that is a very good possibility.
This is one of the prices of boundaries.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and joining me in the studio today, Milan Yurkovich. Hey, Milan, how are you?
Great, Steve. How are you?
I am really good. And Dr. John Townsend. Hey, John.
Hey, guys.
Good to be with all both of you, all of your personalities, and going to have a great
now
day
that
today.
Sounds like, you mean like we have 10 or 12 personalities between us?
Exactly.
That's a disorder.
Yeah, it is. Well, I got to tell you, I am still kind of excited coming back from San Francisco last night. I got to do the chapel for the Dallas Cowboys the night before. And then go to the game, and Misty was with me, and of course we won.
Wow.
And so I had, you know, they told me they didn't need a motivational talk, because I think every time somebody does chapel, you know, they probably come in with their Newt Rockney story or whatever.
Sure.
It is.
Win one for the Gipper.
Yeah, exactly. And it was just so cool to be with these guys that I've kind of idolized all my life, from the days of Tom Landry. And it was really fun. And
Steve,
I hope
Steve,
you
could you believe
that.
How big they are?
Or how little I am?
Just how big they are.
Well, Milan, you would stand up to them, you know, head to head or nose to nose.
Well,
they're giants.
I've done chapels before, and I've been to their breakfasts also, and it's amazing to see how much they eat, how big they are, just how incredibly fit they are.
I was looking up at this one guy, and he told me, he got married 8 years ago, and he read Every Man's Battle 4 months before he got married, took care of his sexual integrity problem, and it's been great ever since. And that was just a thrill. I mean, but yeah, I felt like a little, you know, quite frankly, a midget. That's what I felt like.
You know, though, one thing about guys at that level that we can all learn from our own growth is that at the world-class level of those guys, there is no substitute for hard work. They understand diligence, two-a-days, being an ant, like Proverbs tell us. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a good example for all of us that, you know, it's sometimes there's breakthroughs and sometimes there's just elbow grease in life.
Right. You know, there's a book out, I think it's a pretty good-selling book, called Talent is Overrated. And it's a book about...
Yes, it's a good book.
...how you can win. Mm-hmm. And it's not just being talented.
Well, all except for me, because even though I'm tall, I got a vertical leap of 8 inches. So, I mean, you know,
it does help a little bit.
It does help to have some natural talent, you know? Yeah. I'm just like the slowest thing on 2 feet. That's why I put me in the water, I'm a little better. But, you know, but you're right, working very hard. Now, speaking of working hard, Steve, I understand congratulations are in order for you, because the American Association of Christian Counselors is awarding to you their 25th anniversary Silver Award for outstanding influence and leadership in the development and advancement of Christian counseling around the world. Wow, that you're being recognized by a group of people like that. That's pretty impressive, Steve.
Well, thank you. I just wonder why it's the silver, though. You know, because like when you're competing, gold, you know, you win. Okay, bronze, you can say, well, at least I got something. But silver, of all of the losers, you're the number one loser of all the losers, is what silver means. So I don't know, but I'm really thrilled to get the honor. And
it's quite an honor.
Everybody on the program today has had that honor, except for you, Milan, and it's coming your way, buddy. I really believe that. All right, we'll take a break and come right back.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and Mylon Yurkovich. And some folks have asked about this, so I'm going to say it hopefully only one time. But this Thursday, the 22nd of September, that's when Madeline and I are on Wheel of Fortune. And
Oh, my gosh.
I hate it. Don't watch it. But I will mention it because we walked away with our name tags is how much we want. So it was really a crummy experience. I mean, it was a great experience until we lost. But it was Madeline's dream to always get to be on there. And then we lost. But if you do not like me and you would like to make fun of me, that would, you know, tune in on Thursday to Wheel of Fortune. You'll have plenty of opportunity to make fun of everything. Okay.
Steve, you were alluding to the fact that everybody but me was receiving that award, and I found out that John is also receiving that award.
See, I told you.
Yeah.
We're all in this, but I got to tell you, you know, when I took over the Minrith Meyer radio program,
yeah,
I really felt like that John and Henry were the new folks to carry the mantle of Christian psychology and counseling. And that's why I brought them onto the program. And, you know, Mylon, now with How We Love, I think you are establishing yourself as, you know, just one of those great mantle bearers. And so I'm glad that you've made it on the program. But
well, that's good to hear because I've always gotten the Lifetime Underachievement Awards, you know, ever since I can remember. Well, let me go back and tell you a bad story, but no, I'm just kidding. Hey, do you know, Steve, that today is also National Talk Like a Pirate Day?
I did not know that.
Yeah, I just thought, who on earth would even think that up, and how does that happen? But
Arg. I don't know. Anyway, but Mylon, thank you for bringing up that award that John and I and 17 other people are going to be receiving. No, it is an honor. It's a great honor. We're going to be there for that dinner. You do get a free dinner. It's a
nice
chicken, but, you know, it's free. All right, let's go to Matthew. He's on line number 3 there. Matthew, how you doing there, buddy?
I'm doing okay.
Good. Well, what's going on?
Okay. So before I was married, I had a porn problem.
Yeah?
And I was with my wife. I was with her for 7 years, and before we were married, and basically just telling her that I wasn't going to pornography, but then I eventually became honest with her, told her that I was, but I'd cover it up, and then it would come out again after a while. I've been off of it for a year now, but I'm having such a hard time building trust with her. She's asked me to tell her a lot of things, to prove that I'm being honest and prove that I'm trusting.
Like what? What's she asking you to do to prove that you're being honest and trusting?
Well, some of it I understand. She's asking some of the things that I've done on pornography, just, I guess, to help heal some wounds. But a lot of the other things is she's asking me to do things like tell her every time I see a female, or tell her every time that my head goes up, because she's afraid that I'm double taking at females and that I'm lusting after them, that I want to look at them. She thinks I want to, so she's wanting me to tell her when I do look at them.
Mm-hmm. You know,
maybe not in a lustful way, but
how long have you been doing this consistently?
Well, it's been a year, pretty much telling her these things.
Any relapse during the year?
No, I haven't relapsed. I haven't done anything. I haven't looked upon a woman lustfully.
Seems like to me the big deal is that you could say to her, I've got this filter on my computer, and here is my here's my email address, and here's my password. Here's the password to my phone, to texting. You can pick up my phone anytime, go on my computer anytime, and I will let you know if anything happens in looking. Seems like that would be a better thing than you've got to report into her.
Well, there's another problem, though, Matthew, and that is, and this happens a lot in betrayal, unfaithfulness sorts of issues where the fundamental trust is broken.
Yeah.
Is as long as you're responsible for creating what she needs to heal in her trust, it will never work. It can be a black hole where for the next 50 years you're reporting in and all this. And the Bible teaches us that we have to be in the healing process and own the healing process for ourselves. So what I would suggest is sit down with her and say, I'm not going to do anything. I will do anything because of what I did, and I want to restore trust. But I need for you to take responsibility for what's the finish line. What do you need from me? How long until you feel better? Because I can't read your mind. I can't, like, just do this infinite amount of things. I need to know what it's going to take. And that helps to kind of shove the responsibility in a good way at her so that she sits down and thinks, well, you know, would it be another year? Or does it mean more intimate connections? Or what does it mean? But help her to craft what she needs to start to trust you again instead of you trying to do this black hole experience.
Yeah, because it seems to change.
That's my point. That's my point.
Yeah.
It's a moving target because, and this happens a lot, because she's afraid and she doesn't want to relapse, but it focuses your wife on you as opposed to what she needs to feel inside and see. So move it her way. We wrote a book called It's Not My Fault, where it helps to talk about what responsibility is, how to know what you need to own. You certainly are owning your part, and you have to continue to, but she needs to own what she needs to do to feel safe with you.
Yeah, all right. How far do I go, too? Because it's also gotten to the point where I have to tell her if words come into my
Matthew,
head.
Are you listening to what John's saying there, Matthew?
I sort of just answered that question.
So I have to do everything she says that makes her feel comfortable?
No. No, unless she's really, really disturbed and says, you need to text me 24/7 for the next 60 years. Most people aren't like that on a bell curve level. My point was, help her to say, here's what I need and for how long and for how frequent to feel loved and safe with you. And then if it's within reason, I would certainly do it because you love her.
And you know, another piece of that where John's talking about her responsibility, COSA is a great resource. Codependence of Sex Addicts is a great place for her to be going. And if you were going to a sexual addiction group or Every Man's Battle group, and she was going to a group for codependency, especially in this area, then you guys are working together as a team to heal this versus her saying jump and you asking how high, that kind of thing.
You know, Matthew, women don't understand the male mind. And so it's a trust issue, but it's also a...
Sometimes male mind is an oxymoron.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was good, John.
Here's a man that doesn't understand a male mind myself. Yeah.
So there's a naivety that most women have. They impose a female mind upon a male mind, and they think that's how guys think. And so often I find wives in my office are totally shocked because for years they were thinking their husband was thinking a certain way. And so there's this horrible shock. And so it creates a trauma inside the wife because she realizes that her idealization as to how the husband was thinking all along now goes all the way back to, I was wrong about how this man is thinking. And so it's important to go back and address her fears historically and say, you know, what did you conceive, what did you think of me in my mind? And then go back and even ask questions about what was sexuality like in her childhood. Was she misused? Was she hurt? Was she violated in some way? And then I agree with John. You need to, and Steve, you need to say to her, I don't want you to be the policeman anymore. It's not fair for you to have to be the policeman, wife. It's just not fair. So I would go to an Every Man's Battle weekend. I would get in a support group. I'd show her that you're working on what you want to do to be make yourself and that you own yourself really strongly. But then there's a part of you that's going to have to say, honey, I'm not going to answer every question because that's not healthy. We can't develop love if I'm having to answer every single question that you ask me. But that tells me how anxious and scared she is inside because that's what anxious and scared people do. They ask a million questions.
I completely understand that. And I want to go to one of these Everymans. We have a Celebrate Recovery around here, but she doesn't. And we went to my pastor to discuss this. But see, when we did, I lied to my pastor, so that created a gap between us and going to people for help. And she doesn't trust that my eyes will be good when I'm at a Celebrate Recovery or Everyman's Battle. So
it's never good to force that.
I just don't think I should force that.
The reality is that as long as you still have visual sight, you will see pretty women around you your whole life. Now, what do I do with that? I mean, I can look at a pretty woman. I'm surrounded by beautiful women. What do I do with it? I don't take it in, and I don't play with it in my mind. And so to say I didn't look at anybody, I can't do that. It's impossible for me to do that. I must learn to corral my thoughts and my emotions and my mind. The Bible says, bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That's a lifetime battle. Your wife should probably also read Every Man's Battle to understand it's not just about Matthew. It's about, you know, every man has this battle. I think it's probably one of the best titled books I've ever heard because it is a lifetime battle.
All right, guys.
She says she doesn't want to, or she says, I don't want to read the books. As long as you keep telling me things, that's what's going
to
do it.
Yeah, well, you know, we've given you a different, or certainly John's given you a different way to look at that.
Exactly.
And so you got to come back with her with some strength and confidence. But, you know, you can see that you lying to the pastor, I mean, that kind of put the pastor at a level above her, wanting to look good to him versus wanting to have connection with her. So keep working, but it's her job, okay?
I would get into couples counseling and really hammer this out with a good couples counselor and ask them to help you find out also what's your part and what's your wife's part. You know, John and Steve are saying your wife has a very big part in this, and they're right, and that has to be owned by her as much as you have to own your side of things.
Well, it's just a really good reminder that, you know, what happened was wrong, but you can't go to the extreme and end up in this little boy, big mama relationship where she's just waiting for you to disobey kind of thing.
Yeah, the coolest thing I ever see is couples where one of them's been unfaithful and they did survive it and they did more than coping. They actually are two adults again and they love each other and they tell each other the truth and they confront each other and they forgive each other. And there's a big difference between a wound and a scar. And there'll always be a scar because that's a marker. But you can really heal a wound. Yeah. But you've both got to work on it.
And it's hard to convince somebody, hey, you know what? This actually can work out to where your relationship grows deeper than it ever would
have. I've seen miracles.
Yeah. Let's go to Sarah from Vallejo, California. KFAX is the station. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. How are you?
Very well. Thank you.
My question is, I listen to you guys every day, and my question is, I'm in recovery, and I go to AA, and I am a Christian woman. And sometimes I get confused on certain things because of the program and then certain things being as a Christian because we know we're not supposed to sin. So how do I balance being in Alcoholics Anonymous and then being a Christian woman.
Now, what is the conflict?
You're saying AA tells you to sin?
Huh?
Did you say that 12-step programs tell us to sin?
No, I said it's... No, I'm not saying that the 12-step program tells us to sin, but there are certain things that, you know, that goes on in the program that are not allowed in the Bible. You know what I mean?
No, I don't know what you mean.
No, I don't either. So we're going to talk about that when we come back because, for a Christian woman, the 12 steps are a plan. They're just a plan right out of the Bible to grow. And we'll cover that the best that we can. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000. In the next hour, we're going to talk about difficult conversations. So if you have one, call us.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433. Or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend, the Silver Award winner, and Milan Jurkovic, the author of How We Love. We're talking here with Sarah, but before we go back to Sarah, I want to remind everybody that on this Friday in San Jose, the Women in the Battle workshop begins. It's the first one we've done. Sherry Denham will be doing that workshop along with all of our Christian counselors, and if you're interested, if you're struggling, and this first call that we had there with Matthew, if his wife could go to this Women in the Battle workshop, it tells you how to deal with, how to resolve, how to trust again if the person in your life has been struggling with sexual integrity issues. So call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE about that. Now, we finished up with Sarah here before the break, and she was saying that she thinks that there's some things in the AA program that aren't in the Bible. And Sarah, can you be specific about something like that?
No, I think you kind of heard me wrong. No, the thing is, I'm not saying that AA is wrong or anything like that, because I've been in the program for 4.5 years, and it's been working for me. But sometimes being a Christian, and people know that I am in the program, and it's like, They don't get it. You know what I'm saying?
You mean Christians are judging you?
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
It's
now,
like, okay. Well,
you know what we call that kind of Christian, don't you? You know what we call that kind of Christian?
What?
Stupid. because that is like saying to someone who was in a car accident and survived, and miraculously survived the accident, and somebody in the church finds out that they're going to physical rehab every week,
right?
And judging them and saying, "Wow, hey, you know, if you had real faith, once you survived that accident, Jesus is all you would need." You see the analogy there, Sarah?
Yes, I understand that. But sometimes, you know, how the enemy can come in and second guess it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Sarah,
I know who I am. And I know that I am an alcoholic. And I know where I need to be. But sometimes when you get into a group of people and they don't understand you, and you go into church and you're trying to live for, and you're living for God, and they're second guessing that.
Yeah, we understand all that.
Hey, Sarah.
God in your life.
Hey, Sarah.
And
Sarah, hold on.
Do you want to know what to say to those people? Or do you want to know whether what you're doing is right or wrong? Because I thought you started wanting to know whether what you're doing is right or wrong, and now it sounds like you're just saying, how do I handle these people? Is that your question?
Yes.
Well,
yes, how do I handle these people?
Well, the Bible tells us a couple of things about that. First, it says a soft answer turns away wrath. Mm-hmm. So if people are wrathing you, saying, gosh, you're going to this dark place, then you say, well, gosh, I'm sorry you feel that way. And then
In other words, John, don't tell them you're stupid.
I would not use the stupid line, Sarah. In your heart, you can think. But to draw them out, I've found this extremely helpful, Sarah, because all of us in the studio have done this sort of conversation with people that don't understand this. And it's to draw them out, and I say the following question. Tell me what is you find that is not in the Bible about what I'm doing. I'm going to take some notes here. What do you find? And I have had 99% of these conversations, Sarah, where people, they kind of get the deer in the headlights. Look, well, I don't know. It doesn't sound real. I understand, you know, lots of things are that way. But tell me what you see that's not in the Bible. And most of the time, they just kind of go away. Because it's in the Bible. Confession, ownership, love, grace, responsibility, brokenness. That's all in the Bible.
And John, when they say, well, what about that higher power thing?
Right.
What about that higher power thing? What do you say to that?
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of names that God has. He's El Shaddai. He's Elohim. He's Jehovah.
Okay.
He's also a higher power.
And then another thing to say is, in the group, a lot of people have been so down, and have experienced so much sin in their life, they're totally separated from God. They feel so much shame, and the closest they can come to referring to God, they feel so alienated by the church and by their own sin, is higher power. And then you say this is me really getting them, and that is, say, but I know a lot of Christians who really aren't living as if Jesus is their higher power. And it would be a good idea if they would examine the concept of higher power and incorporate it into their faith.
Okay. All right.
Sarah?
Okay. That's
Milo had a thought, too.
Sarah?
Yes.
Prior to this, have you, and because you're an alcoholic, that means that you were trying to possibly medicate bad feelings inside. Okay, that's my presupposition. So do you think in your family growing up you ever felt misunderstood, judged, or self-conscious?
Yes.
Okay, so what's important to understand is that part of what you might be feeling or experiencing around these people is just some of your old tapes playing from your family that's hard to make them go off. And just be aware of what are they saying versus what am I projecting onto them, okay?
Okay.
All right, just a thought, just some awareness on your part to think about.
Sarah, do you have a life recovery Bible?
No, I don't.
I'm going to send it to you because that will show you exactly how 12 steps are integrated into the scripture. Now, I know a lot of people listen to us, and they, or some might think, well, you know, I agree with all these things these guys said, but when it comes to this recovery thing, I think they might be off because you just need one step, and that's accepting Christ. And that just isn't true in the case of addiction.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense, and I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and Mylon Yurkovich. And I'm going to remind everybody before we go to Jackie that after this program, we're going to be taping a program for one of our Focus Friday shows that's focused on a specific topic. And we're going to be doing this kind of around John and Henry's book on difficult conversations. So if you have a question about somebody you need to be confronting or having a tough time encouraging, whatever it is, call us in 30 minutes. We'll be doing that program. And then this Friday, our Focus Friday is on blended families. So if you are interested in blended families, know someone that is, this Friday would be a great day to listen or recommend that they listen. Now let's go to Jackie from Lanham, Maryland. WAVA is the station. Hey, Jackie, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Yeah, no, I was just listening to the lady who was just on the air with you all, and before you went to the commercial break, she had said that she was a Christian and that, you know, how could she be a Christian woman and be in AA? And I didn't hear the rest of it. But I know with the AA programs, I have been there with friends. I was even on drugs at one time. And, you know, I heard people say that they've been clean for 20 years, but when they get up there, they confess that I'm an alcoholic. And I'm just wondering, if God has delivered you, you are set free. He said, who the Son is set free is free indeed. And if that's so, why are you still confessing that you are an alcoholic or you're still a drug addict? Because there's power in the tongue. Why keep confessing that? If he has set you free, you are delivered. You are no longer alcoholic. You are no longer drug addict. Old things are passed away. Why would they have you keep saying that?
Jackie?
Yes.
Are you a sinner?
No.
Watch out now. Watch out. If you say you're a sinner.
Hey, guys, can we have ask Jackie to cut down, to turn off her radio?
Mm-hmm.
Can you turn off your radio?
Okay.
We got like a 7-second delay.
All I'm saying is, okay, why would you keep saying that you're a drug addict?
But now just go with me for a minute. Are you a sinner?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hello?
Jackie?
Yes.
Are you a sinner?
Yes.
do you ever say that out loud, that you're a sinner?
No.
You never say that out loud?
No.
You would never say, I'm a sinner set free by Jesus Christ?
Well, they don't say that, though. They don't say I'm a sinner. They don't say I'm an alcoholic set free
well,
by Jesus
do.
Christ.
Some do.
No. But I'm just saying, when I've been to those programs and they say, hi, my name is Jackie and I'm an alcoholic.
Or they say I'm a recovering alcoholic.
You are not an alcoholic anymore.
They say I'm a recovering alcoholic. But let me tell you something. When I was growing up, Jackie, I, like a lot of guys, was interested in, you know, the opposite sex. And, you know, I became sexually active or promiscuous. All right? Are you with me? Now, okay. Turn your radio off there and just listen to us, okay, on the phone.
Okay.
Now, are you with me?
I'm listening.
Okay.
I am.
But for a lot of guys, that is a little small part of their life. But for me, that became much more addictive than I think it did for normal people. It's important for me, and has been over my lifetime, to remind myself of that so that I don't get involved in anything that compromises sexual integrity. And for a lot of people who have struggled with alcohol, to call themselves a recovering alcoholic is a reminder that it's a little bit different with them, this drinking thing. It's gone a different direction, and they never, ever want to forget that. Otherwise, they might think, I'm so good that I've beaten this thing and I could drink again. Versus...
Versus thinking that
since I am this, I can never have a relationship with alcohol the way other people seem to have that don't get drunk all the time or don't build a tolerance and are in withdrawal.
Can I ask a Bible question to you, Jackie?
Yes.
What do you do with Paul's thorn in his flesh?
Say that again.
What do you do with Paul's thorn in his flesh?
What do you do with it?
Well, if I hear you right, he should say, I don't have a thorn in my flesh because I've been set free by the blood, so that's a bad confession, and yet the Bible has, you know, Paul talking about something he still struggled with.
But see, we're right. Well, Paul was still doing the actual act, you see, and say he said a thorn is in his flesh because he was still in the act of it. If he was no longer doing whatever that thorn was, and we don't know what it was, he's no longer doing it, and then he could say that. But
all
even
right.
Once Paul, God delivered Paul, even the thing that he did in the past, he said, I didn't do that.
You know, I'm going to agree. Actually, I'm going to agree with half of what you're saying.
Jackie, hold on. He was still doing it. People who are doing drinking, saying I'm an alcoholic, they're no longer drinking. So why say that now if they're still drinking? Okay, yeah, I can see what I'm saying. I'm an alcoholic. But
Jackie,
if you are no longer drinking, God has set you free. He said who the Son has set free is free indeed. And I think if we teach people that and call those things that be not as though they were, why keep confessing it? Why keep saying it out of your mouth?
Okay, now, Jackie, we get your point. We get your point, honey. And really, you know, let John, he's saying that he agrees.
Jackie, now I'm going to say a sentence or two, and can you like say kind of? I want you to sort of listen, and then don't lecture for a bit because I really want to.
Okay.
I want to agree with you. So I'm going to say two things, and then you just listen, and then maybe say two things instead of like 10 things.
Okay.
Do we have an agreement there?
Yeah.
All right. There are people that I disagree with 12-step in this. There are people who are no longer alcoholics. And AA would say that everybody who is an alcoholic is an alcoholic for life. I do not believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that some people do have a problem, even Christians, and will always have a problem because of, you know, the process in their life or maybe something neurologically or something biologically. Just like a diabetic is a diabetic until something happens. Or a person who has some sort of genetic disorder. So I would never say that people aren't. But there are some people that do get healed. Now, that's why when some people who do have that issue, that sin, that pattern, and they may have it the rest of their life, they ought to say that they've got it because that's the truth. Because they will always have some sort of biological or constitutional weakness, and I don't want to put that person at risk. So I'm agreeing with half of you.
Now, John, here's how I would characterize what you've just said. Not that it matters, but just having looked at this thing, I would characterize the person you're talking about that moves on beyond this, mm-hmm. and it's not a biological predisposition or something. I view them as like a problem drinker for a while, and that the alcoholism doesn't fully take hold of the body, mind, soul, spirit. But for a while, you know, like they get some bad news, and they may be drunk for 2 years.
A dependency.
Exactly. And then that person goes and gets some counseling, or they start going to a Bible study, and things start to come together. That person moves on. But I call that a problem drinker. I mean, it's just a matter of semantics. There's no question about it.
Well, Steve, I think it's important to remember that the Apostle Paul, and one of the things that Jackie's doing is she's, I believe, confusing positional truth with practical truth. Positionally, we are completely set free, and we are freed from sin and its ultimate consequences, and we are delivered from the domain of darkness to the domain of light. However, the Apostle Paul says there's still evil living inside of him, even though his mind wants to do the right thing. In Romans 8, he says, Romans 7, I still struggle because the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. So I think we have to acknowledge that he says we have to be able to say we're in a process of sanctification after we are saved. We're not fully delivered from all the problems of the flesh. That's why Paul tells us every day to take up our cross. He tells us every day to yield to the will of God. And so there's this concept of sanctification. I wish it were so, that I was completely delivered from all temptation and everything else, because it's not, it just doesn't happen. I have to grow the rest of my life, and until the day I die, I will struggle with certain things. And I also agree with you, John, that, even though we could have had an addiction at some particular time in our life, it doesn't mean I still have to be labeled by that. And I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, to Jackie's point, I think that Jesus died to transform us and set us free, not to help us cope better.
Right. See, so, I would have called myself a sexual addict 40 years ago. Mm. But I'm not a sexual addict anymore, and I resist anybody trying to say once an addict, always an addict. No, I'm not.
Sometimes we are, sometimes we're not.
Yeah.
So, Jackie, thanks for bringing up an important issue. I appreciated, the fact that you want to make sure that people know that when they're delivered, they're delivered. It's just that sometimes, because of certain things, some people aren't delivered, just like diabetes sometimes.
Yeah. A couple of more comments on that, and we'll go to one more caller after this.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we are back. Steve Arterburn here. And, you know, I don't want us to be a place where somebody says, gosh, I was sober 20 years and then I quit calling myself an addict and started drinking again or something like that. We really do believe in the power of addiction. Just don't agree on necessarily every point about that and how that plays out in a person's life.
But, Mylon had a good point about that. Tell me your point, Mylon.
Which one? The one about
of the many that you have during breaks.
Yeah.
It's just about how we need to encourage people when they relapse. You haven't lost all your gains,
right?
You're a part of a process that the Bible teaches, a process orientation to growth. And so you screw up sexually or you drink or whatever, you haven't lost all your gains. You're still in the maturity process.
Well, I have people say to me, you know, we had a fight last weekend, and I go, so we're back to square one. I go, no, you're not back to square one.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You have gone, you know, 3 months without a problem, and so 99% improvement on your progress. And you go to AA, and they'll say, you know, if you drink, you have to start all over again. You'll have to say, hey, I'm Mylon, I'm an alcoholic, I've been sober one day, instead of, no, I was sober for 2 years and I had one downfall. They make you start over again at ground zero, and I don't think that's fair.
Okay, on the day count, you start over. But there is an acknowledgement that it's a relapsing problem and that during that 2 years, you did grow and you learned something. You learned that there were some limitations there that you didn't fully address, and that's how you relapse.
Yeah, I think when they say that about the one day, I don't think they're negating all the growth.
Well, they talk about being grateful for two years of sobriety.
I see this in my office a lot. People tend to think, the natural mind tends to think, I blew it, so I start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
that.
Not true. It's learning to integrate that I've had a great run here, and just because I had one downfall, or I did one thing, like you said, you know, with respect to a sexual thought or a problem with any problem in my life, food, diet. You know, people think, you know, I was on a diet and I blew it. Well, I'm now off the diet permanently. Instead of saying, wow, I did really well for 2 weeks and blew it one day. Now let me start over again.
Yeah.
But if I'm
talking to a matured AA guy or gal, they'll understand that.
Sure.
They understand that, this is just sort of a way to keep score. I don't think they negate the growth.
Okay. Now, we're going to do a
program. In my office, they do.
Yeah. We're going to do a program, and I got to move on difficult conversations. If you got one, call us. We're going to do that in the next hour. Then the third hour, taking any kind of call. Right now, we're going to talk to Susan from San Francisco. KFIA is the station. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
How could we help you today? We don't have a lot of time, but we want to help.
Okay. I would like to start dating. I'm 45, single, never been married, long history of sexual abuse. The perpetrator's dead. It's all been reported. I just lost 140 pounds.
Whoa. How'd you do it? How'd you lose the weight?
I went to the workshop in January, Lose It for Life, and I work a food addict program.
Wonderful.
Right in sync with the 12-step stuff that you're talking about.
That's so great.
And you know, really would like to be in a relationship, but don't have any history of doing anything healthy ever in my life.
Okay.
So what's your guidance?
Well, now, have you dated at all?
Only gay men.
Dated gay men. Okay, I get that. I understand how that works out. Well, you know, you've got to get with some...
Steve, why don't you explain what you just said? I get that. Now, I think some of our audience, they might not get that. So.
Well, a lot of women that have been sexually abused or afraid of men or hate the rejection of a man because they're overweight, they might develop friendships with gay men because, you know, the gay guy isn't evaluating whether or not I'm going to romantically fall in love with this person and reject that person. And they might see that man as a safer man.
Thank you.
I mean, that's just one of the things that's just a way of coping or dealing with life that
Got it. I just thought that was important.
Is that right, Susan? Does that relate to you at all?
Got it right on. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So anyway, congratulations on your 140 pounds. You need to be in a group where there are men and women that are communicating and not dating. You need to be in a small group where you get used to heterosexual men and them being interested in you. I think you need to get on a dating site. It's what we tell everybody that's new in the single world. You know, the one we've talked about here before is His Match for Me. Seems to be a really good Christian site, a real live Christian site, hismatchforme.com. You might try that. What do you guys think would be good advice for somebody 45 having lost 140 pounds? Wow.
I would say that you need to expect it's going to be difficult.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Because you have a perception of yourself. I have a friend that lost 140 pounds as well, and he would think, I can't walk down that aisle, it's too narrow. And he still had a picture in his mind of limitations. So he'd take an alternate route just because he would think, I can't squeeze through there. And of course, if you're 47 and you haven't been 45 years old and you haven't dated a lot, it's not going to be easy. You just have to give it, like Steve said, lots of exposure and spend lots of time with multiple people and multiple audiences and learn to laugh and have fun and feel more comfortable around a mixed audience. And then look for opportunities to just go on casual dates and group things.
Any thoughts, John?
We're going to send you a copy, I think, of the best book out there, which is Henry's book. And it's called How to Get a Date Worth Keeping or Your Money Back. And what it does is it gives you a plan for looking at all the ways that people who are single lie to themselves and say things like, oh, this person doesn't believe every little thing that I believe, and they're a rock climber, and I'm a musician, this will never work, because people get scared.
Yeah.
And so they have this list, Susan, in their head that's totally unrealistic, so they won't have to take a risk. And Henry's book just kind of walks you through how to work on a healthy list that involves the right kind of risk. So we'll send it to you.
Yeah. All right, coming your way, Susan. Also, I'll send you Avoiding Mr. Wrong. I hope that'll be a blessing to you there. And congratulations on your way. But check out that website, His Match for Me. I think there's some safe people there that you will you'll enjoy connecting with. You know, we're just about out of time. And I remind you, we're doing one program after this on difficult conversations based on the book. What's the title of the book, John?
How to Have That Difficult Conversation That You've Been Avoiding.
Okay. It's a great, great book, and it's a great concept. And all of us have somebody we need to have that conversation with. This Friday, we'll do a Focus Friday program on blended families. So please tune in if you or someone you know struggles in that area. And then Women in the Battle. This weekend, it's not too late to sign up. If you're connected in some way to someone with a sexual integrity or a sexual purity problem, and you're a female, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433. Just want to remind everybody, Proverbs 14:12 says that there is before every person a very wide and pleasant road that seems so right, but in the end, it always ends in death and destruction. And that's what we're here for, is to prevent folks from experiencing the death and destruction that comes from that wide road. If you could help us do that, we would greatly appreciate it. If you join Club New Life, become one of our monthly giving supporters, we'll send you a Life Recovery Bible. If you can make a one-time gift, it would mean everything to us in this ministry as we get ready and move into the fall here, where our ministry really cranks up after the summer. Also, let me remind you of Lose It for Life. You heard Susan talking about losing this weight since she went. It's a great jump start or kickstart to getting your weight recovery problem rolling. So look into that. Lose It for Life. It's in November. Every Man's Battle coming up. So many things. Check us out at newlife.com. We love you.
Thanks.
See you.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry.
to make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.